You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday. Hopefully you got a chance to get out and vote, and you allow yourself a little extra time because the lines were long this morning. We'll talk to Rich Eisen. He'll join us coming up on loan from the NFL Network, and of course, the Rich Eisen Show, seen on Peacock, where you can find this show. Download the app. You can watch for free. Rich's show follows ours. Buccaneers survived the Giants 25-23, but not without a little controversy there. At the very end, was it pass interference through the flag? Probably checked in with the home office there, who said, pick up the flag, let's go home. But I thought Joe Judge had an interesting response. He's the Giants head coach. He had this to say about the call.
Nate made the right call when he threw the flag. So I'm not sure why it got picked up. We had a pretty good view. I know they can't use a Jumbotron for replay. We had a pretty clear view of that as well. But I thought Nate made the right call the first time. I thought, you know, normally your first instinct is the right one. So,
and Nate Jones, the field judge on the call, but get used to this if you haven't already gotten used to it. And that is, all else fails, when in doubt, throw the flag. And then now you're finding out, or at least it feels like a lot more, I'm not going to say interference because they're trying to get the call right, but involvement by the NFL officiating home office, where they're watching all these monitors and then they can get in contact with the official on the field and say, you know what, not enough there to overturn. And that's what I was curious about. You throw the flag, pass interference, was there enough to overturn it? That's where I was surprised. I didn't think it should have been thrown in the first place, but it just feels like we don't want to miss a call. Let's throw it, and then we could discuss it after the fact. Here's Tom Brady after the performance last night.
The interceptions were huge for us, and then defense really helped us out getting a few interceptions. And then the touchdown to Gronk, he made a great catch because the ball got tipped at the line of scrimmage. He had great concentration on that. And then Mike's was an incredible catch. So those guys are making a lot of plays. We obviously didn't play the way we were capable tonight, but it's still good to go get a win.
I don't know if they were looking past the Giants. They might have. Now, consciously, they're going to say no. Subconsciously, they might have been, because now you have Tampa Bay against New Orleans. They open the season against one another with the Saints winning that game. Antonio Brown making his debut Sunday night. It'll be on NBC. But the Giants are good enough to hang in there. They're just not good enough to win those games. And here we go. You know, you're looking at Daniel Jones, and it's a referendum, and it's going to be a referendum every Monday. After every game, it will be. Tuesday, in this case. We're not quite sure. Sam Darnold, we're going to do that next Tuesday. They play on Monday night against the Patriots. And then you're going to go, boy, Sam Darnold looked fill in the blank. Because you have it feels like Baker Mayfield's playing for his future. I guess Mitchell Trubisky was playing for his future. Maybe he gets a chance to play for his future again. There's a couple of quarterbacks here that are on the clock. You know, Gardner Minshew, is he playing for his future there with Jacksonville? And I feel like Daniel Jones is playing for his future right now, whether that's fair or not, but just feels like that's the situation here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Update the poll results. Let me bring in Rich Eisen.
McClellan. Okay, if you're J.J. Watt, do you want to stay with the Texans, go to the Packers, or the Seahawks? Packers, the early leader. We just put up danpatrick.com.
All right, we bring in Rich Eisen here. Do you think anybody, big names, get traded today?
I don't think so, Dan. If I had to choose a big name that should get traded today, it should be Cam to the Dallas Cowboys. That would be something that if I was Dallas, I'd kick the tires on. But I just don't see anything like that. There's no fantasy football trade in our future over the next 10 hours, I don't think.
If you're J.J. Watt, would you ask to be traded without going to the media?
Yeah. Right.
Would you ask behind the scenes?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't profess to know exactly what's in his head. I think he loves that city. I think he loves that town. To answer your poll question, I would take Seattle if I were him. I know obviously Packers is his childhood team, but to me, Seattle is exactly what is exactly what he would plug into. You know, obviously when we're looking at a post-pandemic, I've never been in a place where somebody's defensive play is directly plugged into the fans and how it actually turns into a momentum changing play, quite like Seattle. I've never really seen anything quite like it. And the only thing that comes close to it is when J.J. Watt makes a play in Houston. I think it would be a perfect match. It's exactly what they need. You even heard, you know, Collinsworth say a couple of Sunday nights ago, Where's the pass rush? This is exactly what this team needs. They need the pass rush. Carlos Dunlap may be, a factor, but I would love to see that marriage with J.J. Watt in Seattle.
I mentioned this to Peter King yesterday. I said the longer the season goes on, the less I know, because we have all these injuries. You're not quite sure if teams are going to be able to play when they're supposed to play each weekend. This has been one big question mark. I don't know who is great. I don't know who is really good. I don't know. I know who's bad. Your Jets.
Well, Dan, I thought you were soft-pedaling all these NFL questions to, you know, get me talking, soften me up for the Michigan haymaker that you from Ohio are about to deliver. I see it coming. I understand you don't normally telegraph your punches, but I definitely have seen you at work for a quarter century and know your style. So this is an interesting way to soften me up.
Yes.
But yes, the Jets stink on ice, to use the phrase that I heard quite a bit growing up in New York City. They are terrible. They have broken Sam Darnold. They should sit him. I when I heard that they were giving him an MRI on his shoulder that was so hurt in the game in Denver that he came back into the game after leaving it, only to have the Jets even down two scores against Denver, shoehorn in another dumbass personal foul penalty, just enough to get Darnold back on the field for three useless snaps. I thought that they could use this MRI as cover to sit him down and start Flacco the rest of the year, because as you pointed out in your third hour preamble, that there are teams on their heels with one win that could absolutely use Trevor Lawrence and would absolutely turn their current starter into Josh Rosen, to continue the analogy, for Trevor Lawrence. And the Jets should do that right now. They should say to Sam Darnold, you are great. I think I heard you driving in today to the show here. I think Pittsburgh would be an amazing spot for him if Jimmy G is, in fact, maybe banged up to the point where the Niners would want to move on. I think he would be great there too. And the Jets should send him packing and give him what he deserves, which is a real opportunity in a franchise that can handle it for him, and go get Trevor Lawrence.
Would you rather the Jets didn't win a game the rest of the season, or they won four?
Yes. Oh, I didn't stutter. I don't want to see them win a game the rest of the season. Oh, God, no. What's the point? What is the absolute point? So you could feel good about yourself?
Well, they did that last year.
Momentum?
They screwed up last year.
Right. Well, but there was no Trevor Lawrence in their offing, or even, this year's top three picks in the offing, really, when they started beginning to win again. Right. I mean, there was nothing like that. So right now they're in a great spot. This kid is ridiculously special, and he would be amazing in New York City. All the people saying, he should stay in school and tell the Jets I'm not coming. The Jets can basically tell him at the combine, we got this coach. You tell Bieniemy to bring Andy Reid's playbook with him, or go for it. It's anybody. And it's the Jets' only opportunity to get a coach who would want to come to this franchise. It's a perfect situation that they cannot screw up with a single win over the next 8 weeks, Dan.
He's Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show. You can find it on Peacock right after this show. And, of course, he is the NFL Network host. Which should extend or expand playoffs just for this season, college football or the NFL?
College football right now. I don't understand why they don't do it. This is a perfect opportunity for whatever politics has been preventing them from doing the right thing. An 18 playoff is what we should see every year, Dan. I mean, there's a team that's fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth that has an opportunity to catch fire. We also know that there's a team that could be fifth or sixth that deserves to be in the top four. You know, you're already seeing now, I'm sure you're talking about the Clemson-Notre Dame game that's on NBC this weekend. That you're already hearing, Notre Dame beats Clemson. Well, you didn't have Trevor Lawrence playing. Well, Clemson beat Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame couldn't do it even without Trevor Lawrence. Like, it's going to be cut either way. That is kind of a no-win situation for Notre Dame. And we should remove, I know it adds a certain drama to this weekend because there's only four teams, but expanding it to eight, see how it goes. I think baseball showed the expanded playoffs were entertaining this year.
Yeah.
And it had a March Madness type feel when it was a first pitch at one, and then it kept cascading all the way throughout the day for like four straight days. I think college football should attempt it.
Since this is the day to vote, you being a Michigan alum, and you vote.
Oh, wow.
Jim Harbaugh at the end of the year.
Oh, my God.
You say, hey, let's re-sign him, or we say, thank you, nice parting gifts.
This is the way you're framing the question.
Yes, I am.
This is the framing question. So I'm at the polling place
that doesn't exist.
And the item, the referendum on the
you have your lever. Pull it.
Do I say what?
Do you want Harbaugh to stay or go?
Yes, I want him to stay. How does that sound? I know it has not been at all a successful run in terms of national championships and Big Ten championships and beating Ohio State. I understand.
Other than that.
It looks bad. It looks bad. And it is frustrating. It's very, very frustrating to go through Saturdays like this. It's painful.
You lost to Michigan Saturdays State like at home.
I'm very well aware that Michigan State team that turned it over seven times against Rutgers did not show up in Ann Arbor on Saturday, Dan. I mean, let's be honest. They played mistake-free football, which is kudos to them in playing a rivalry game that I wish my school had won in a manner that we saw Michigan State pull it together.
Okay.
And you can blame the coach, but who am I hiring? Who am I hiring? Am I hiring PJ Fleck? I'm hiring Matt Campbell. I mean, who am I hiring just for the sake of it hasn't worked out with one of those boys and is my first quarterback to
look for at Michigan? You can't find a quarterback. When's the last time Michigan had a truly dangerous, impressive first-round talent quarterback?
I think they have one right now, actually.
Oh,
I really do.
I think he's living.
I really do. No. I really do, but it's also his second start. That's the problem. Like, to me, the question I'm going to have, okay, and I already have, is why didn't this kid have any run last year? Certainly when Shea Patterson was having those two back-breaking turnovers per game that Michigan couldn't afford. You know, I know everyone wants blood, but honestly, who would I hire? I'll flip it to you. Like, who should Michigan go get?
But are you satisfied if this is going to be status quo, because it's been status quo?
No, I'm not. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied.
Like 9-3 is, you know, that's nice for a lot of colleges, but
I know I am not satisfied. I do not like every single time Michigan plays that I have a pit in my stomach and I look down at my text and I see every Ohio State friend of mine giving me like the googly eyes emoji. Like, are you seeing this? Like, yes, I am seeing this. I am watching this. It stinks. It is not a lot of fun. And I don't understand how Michigan is actually favored at Indiana. And I heard, again, driving in today, you called that a sneaky game. It is not sneaky. It's not sneaking up on me. It's not in my rearview mirror. It's right in front of me. I saw how they have played. They are inspired. This is going to be, again, one of their Super Bowls. And Michigan does not play every week as if the opponent is playing them in their Super Bowl. And you can chalk that up to coaching. I just don't know who the alternative is. Who's
Fritzy,
the person that I am hiring?
Fritzy almost texted you on Saturday. And I said, and so he texted me to say, should I text Rich? And I go, no. Don't. We've done that once before.
I appreciate you being the human shield for Fritzy's inanities. I appreciate that, Dan. At what point, Fritz, were you thinking about texting me? Was it right when it was on the line, when Michigan needed to score in that 2-minute drive that took 19 hours for them to actually pull off? When was it?
I was just going to check in with you like Sunday night after the Broncos pulled off that comeback over the Chargers, so you couldn't get back at me about Denver. And once they got that last second touchdown, then I was
I wouldn't. First of all, Todd, I don't take any enjoyment in anything that you find distressing. The only person I do that with is McLovin. And I love going back at him on his tweets that make no sense, like, how many Super Bowls have actually had Pro Bowl wide receivers on them? Not many. That means wide receivers don't mean anything, as if all pro, all pro wide receivers, as if that is the only metric by which a quality receiver is measured in being a championship quality. Like Tyreek Hill, the only guy who could make that route in the Super Bowl last year look as beautiful as it did.
Yes, McLovin.
He wasn't a pro. It was an all pro.
Yes, McLovin.
It was an all pro.
I know a team that could use some all pro receivers, and they play in Ann Arbor. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Here's what I will handle. I will handle Dan giving me crap because it literally we are working on our second quarter century of that right now. So I can handle that, especially with him from the state of Ohio. Deep down, Dan, I don't. You do enjoy Michigan's misery, right? Deep down, the Ohio,
no,
the Buckeye in you.
Like I used to. I used to. I felt sorry for Michigan when I was at the Ohio State game a couple of years ago. Like I felt sorry for them.
Which one was that? The 60 burger or the one with the fourth down that JT Barrett did not actually get?
No, it was the 60 points they gave up. I felt sorry for them. I want it to be a rivalry.
No, I would. So would I.
Okay, so what hurt more? Michigan State? Or if you lost to Ohio State or the Michigan State loss, what hurts more?
Oh, Ohio State. Are you kidding me?
No, you should expect to lose to Ohio State.
No, we don't expect. No, no, no.
You should.
We should not.
Yes,
no,
Michigan State. You lost to Michigan State at home.
It's not. I'm again aware of
your
that,
little
and I'm
brother.
Willing to take it from you.
Your little
I will
brother.
Not take it. I will not take it from an Ivy Leaguer in college football. I will not accept that.
Okay.
This aggression will not stand, Dan. It will not.
Paulie, do you have a question for Isaac?
Rich, are you glad you came on?
Are you glad you came on? Who wants a piece of it?
Are you glad you came on?
Of course.
Okay.
I always enjoy this.
Seton, do you have a question for Rich Isaac?
No, I'll let him go.
Okay. All right.
No. His awesome wife does the voiceovers for my program. So we're a Seton-friendly family. Does Paul, you got nothing? Nobody?
I'm just glad you came on, Rich. Good to have you back.
who's yes, McLovin.
Does Rich know that Rutgers beat Michigan State? I just want to make sure that that was on the...
Yeah, he did mention that. Yeah, he did mention that. Who's on the show coming up?
We have today Malcolm Jenkins, who is going to be covering Antonio Brown. Rick Stroud to talk about the Bucs victory and taking on the Saints. Scott Violi for a little bit of a conversation for trade deadline. And Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, will be
awesome.
On today.
Awesome. Tell everybody in the building we said hello. Is anybody left in the building?
Everybody, we're socially distanced. Okay. There's not many people left here, but we're here. And I look forward to being on after your show, Dan.
Thank you, buddy. That's Rich Eisen. McLovin, you're good now? You and Fritzy back row picking? Come on.
Picking a fight? Are you kidding me? He jumped all over that tweet as if I had said something that made no sense whatsoever.
Oh, he did?
The fact that no all-pro receivers have gone to the Super Bowl since, like, 06.
I know, but you are married to that. Like, you do go, I got
to sort of my go-tos.
Yeah.
I can pull out the numbers, Marvin Harrison.
Rich Eisen, host of the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock that follows this show coming up at the top of the hour. Yes, McLovin.
So, if you're Michigan and you beat Ohio State this year, does that rectify everything? Like, would you rather be 1-8 and beat Ohio State than everything
else?
Well,
no, you can't be 1-8.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, can that like sort of make up for everything else?
If they're 6-2 and they beat Ohio State, then I think you'd have the alum that probably, I shouldn't speak for them because I don't know how they feel. But it just feels like you get to a point where you go, 9-3, not a bad season. But if you're comparing, you're always going to be compared to Ohio State. And 9-3 is not good enough. But if you spoil Ohio State's season, how are you playing? That's what I would want to know. Do you have your quarterback? Are you good? Michigan was always built on a great running back, good offensive line, great defense. And then they would have a quarterback who would kind of sprinkle in whatever you needed. They have not had a great quarterback in a long time. And there's no excuse for that because there are so many of these quarterbacks now who are, able to come in and command an offense, understand an offense as freshmen, and they can't find one. I find that amazing. All right, your phone calls are coming up. My thanks to Rich Eisen. Good sport. And I didn't know it's 25 years of me giving him grief and ready for another 25 more years. 21 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, daylight savings time. How good was that? Got an extra hour of sleep, toddler.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Sure, not for your wife, but...
Definitely not for her.
No. No. But you know what? We survived. We got up. We're ready to go. We get that extra hour of sleep. Plus, there's nothing better than when you don't have to get up and you can stay in your bed and you go, man, I might stay here for a little while longer. And you can do that with the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Game-changing sleep. And they got deals going on for the military. They have a Veterans Day sale. You can save $1,000 on a special edition smart bed, now $1,799. It's the only bed that you ever have. Like, once you buy it, you'll never need another bed. Plus, exclusive offers for military members for a limited time only at Sleep Number. The Sleep Number stores, or go to sleepnumber.com/Patrick. That's a Sleep Number store, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. And remember that Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, I don't know who the running back's going to be for the Packers on Thursday night against the 49ers. Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon are out for Thursday against the Niners. COVID protocols. Green Bay's lone remaining healthy running backs are Dexter Williams and Tyler Irvin. Packers remain unsure if Aaron Jones will be back from his calf injury to play against the 49ers. They had one of the deeper backfields in the NFL. And you have one running back testing positive, and then you have the other ones that have to go into COVID protocol. Yes, Todd?
And you got all the Niner injuries, so it's basically the JV teams are playing each other?
Yeah. Yeah, no George Kittle, no Jimmy Garoppolo, no Richard Sherman. Bosa's out for the year. That's what this season's been about, in my opinion. It's been about the injuries. And we talked about soft tissue injuries going into this season, that they were going to be subjected to that. And that's been the case, and then some. Everybody has injuries. It's not where you can go, yeah, but they have injuries. And I guess the team that hasn't had that, the Chiefs. The Steelers, you're kind of holding your breath, although they lost Devin Bush for the season. James Conner got banged up early.
Cam Hayward, I think, might be out.
Yeah, that's true. He's out too.
Your Ravens lost Ronnie Stanley. That's a huge deal.
Yep, that's a big deal. A day after he signed the biggest contract for a tackle in history? Yeah, McLevin.
But you wouldn't let me use excuses for the Cowboys and Eagles and...
No, I'm saying you can't use that excuse because everybody has that excuse.
But some are just egregious.
I mean, like Kansas tonight. City is lucky. Right now, they're fortunate. And Green Bay, you know, aside from COVID, they haven't had, you know, glaring... Devontae Adams missed a couple of weeks, but... You know, that might decide who is going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Who's going to the playoffs? Buccaneers? Seems like they're getting healthier. Yeah, Paul?
And a couple teams with quarterback injuries. The Niners have a pretty high-end backup. People consider Nick Mullins a high-end backup quarterback. And Dallas had the highest-end backup quarterback, probably, at least perception-wise, in Andy Dalton before he got KO'd.
It was interesting what Rich Eisen said. If I'm the Patriots, or I'm the Cowboys, I trade for Cam Newton. All right. I mean, it gets to the point where you say Jerry Jones's pride. Like, I want to have a team that's winning some games. Instead of, we're not going to win, should we be trying extra hard to win these games? How important is just making the playoffs with a 7-9 season? Because you can make a case, if they don't win, are they in better position to help their team next year? Because if they do win 7 games, all right, what kind of draft pick are you getting? You know, Jerry in his mind is running out of time of, you know, trying to piece all of this together. And, I'll take Aldon Smith, Randy Gregory. I'll take anybody. Just get them in there. Let's put it all together. We'll make it work. And then all of a sudden you start losing your Hall of Fame tackle, your quarterback's down. Your linebackers, I mean, you just kind of go through just about every position except for defensive line, and they've been decimated by that. I don't know how hard you want to try to win if you're the Cowboys right now. Yeah, McLevin.
Is it fair to call out Ezekiel Elliott? Nobody's numbers have fallen more since he signed that contract. I mean, they've been cut in a third of what they used to be.
You know what really helps a running back when they have a really good offensive line? And a good quarterback.
If you just have a running back, it doesn't matter unless you're Barry Sanders.
But it feels like Tony Pollard's going through those holes just fine.
I would rather have Tony Pollard. That's why I said I don't want Zeke Elliott at that kind of money. I can get Tony Pollard, who is quicker, one-fifth of the money. One thing Belichick does better than anybody is he doesn't care. There's no feelings there. And Jerry has feelings. And as an owner or a GM, you can't have feelings because it's a bottom line business. The player knows it. The owner knows it. Coach knows it. GM knows it. Bottom line. And when you go, hey, you know what? Let's draft Dwayne Haskins because he went to high school with my son. No. Can he play the position? Like you can't be thinking that way. And Jerry's like, you know, Zeke was great and we need to take care of him. And then you go, you don't have to. You know, Amari Cooper, we got to take care of him. That's not actual audio of Jerry Jones. Oh. Just saying, right there. Leighton Vander Esch is, we got to take care of him. Alden Smith is a great story. Like, okay, these are all wonderful items there. But, man, if you're not worth it, I don't care what you did for me. Because Jerry held on to Tony Romo for a long period of time, paid him extremely well. And I don't know if that was the right decision for him. You can fall in like with your players, but you can't fall in love with them. Favre left the Packers. Montana leaves the Niners. Aaron Rodgers is going to leave the Packers. Brady left the Patriots. It happens. And that's where you have to be cold-blooded. And you just say, I'm running a business. Brady was running a business, his own business. And he's basically cold-blooded to say, I put my house on the market. I'm out of here. I want to go have fun someplace else. The Niners said to Joe Montana, hey, sorry, Joe, but we got Steve waiting. Ship him to Kansas City. Favre, oh, okay, you want to play Rodgers now? You're going to draft Rodgers? All right, I'm going to the Vikings. It happens. But Dallas and Jerry falls in love. Now you can say, boy, he's a great owner, but he's not from that perspective. And Robert Kraft stays out of the way. He probably was more involved with Brady because Brady gave him 20 years and 6 Super Bowls. I'm going to lean towards loyalty there. But if Tom can't play at a high level or doesn't want to be there, see ya. And as tough as that is, your fan base is looking at this and has to look at it as a business as well. We don't always do that. But as an owner and a GM, you have to do that. Paul in Iowa. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. So I was going to talk about your poll question because as a Packer fan, I feel that they need Will Fuller from the Texans more than J.J. Watt. But Rich Eisen just completely triggered me, man. You got to tell your friend to keep Matt Campbell's name out of his mouth. I know he's jealous that they're losing to Michigan State while Iowa State's beating Oklahoma, and Iowa State knows how to recruit a quarterback. But if Matt Campbell turned down the Browns, why would he go to the treading water Michigan Wolverines? Thanks, Dan.
All right, Paul. Good luck holding on to your coach there at Iowa State. Because he was trending before to get a job in the NFL. If you're Eric Bieniemy, do you want the Jets job? Even if you have Trevor Lawrence, do you want the job? Do you want the job if you don't have Trevor Lawrence? Because probably a different answer there. Sean in Iowa. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say how much I appreciate all you guys, especially Todd. He just cracks me up, so thank you.
Hmm.
I'm a Michigan alumni. I completely disagree with Rich. I think that Harbaugh has to go. The main reason is for what you brought up, Dan. Jake Rudock was arguably our best quarterback we've had, and he was a transfer student from Iowa. He just can't seem to get the job done with recruiting, especially in the quarterback area, even though he played quarterback in college and in pro. That should be a selling point right there to get a top-level quarterback. It's very frustrating for us to to see him just not have the passion we expect from our coach. Thank you very much and have a good day.
All right, Sean. I think he has passion, but you got to have results. 9-3 is just not good enough. Like the Outback Bowl is just not, it's not good enough. I like Harbaugh. Great interview. He's got passion. I'd like to have a quarterback. Zeke Elliott, rushing yards per game by season. 2016, 108 yards per game. 2017, 98. 2018, 95. 2019, 84. 2020, 65. I notice a trend here. Yeah, Paulie.
That trend is matches every running back in NFL history, by the way, generally. And what you don't do is give him $70 million.
Oh, my God. It's like when he's holding out, I'm going, no, you don't want him.
He did a fake hustle play, though. Did you see on Sunday, DiNucci threw an interception?
DiNucci!
And Zeke Elliott went, you know what, out to make the tackle, like full speed, full effort play on national TV. Mm.
KC in California. Hey, KC, what do you have?
Yo, what's cracking, guys?
Yep.
Look, one thing we better not ever hear again is the Cowboys being called America's team.
Well, America's beaten them, so you can call them America's team because every team in America has beaten them. America loves them.
The only team that's America's team is probably a team that Tom Brady is playing for. Right now, that's Tampa Bay. Look, here's something that is just chapping my hide.
Ooh.
Is how the NFL keeps calling these personal fouls when there is not a personal foul. Just because you hit the guy hard does not. We saw that a couple of times last night where they picked up one flag early in the game. But on the drive when Mike Evans caught the touchdown, the play before, the offensive player initiated the contact with his helmet. That is a personal foul on the offense.
I agree.
That's like in NBA, a charge or block. The NFL said they were going to crack down on this. It is absolutely ridiculous.
All right. Thank you, Casey. Yeah, Tony Dungy tweeted about that. That if I'm an offensive player, I can use my helmet and I can use my stiff arm. But defensive players can't do that. You know, at some point, they need to do a reset with the NFL, with defense. And just, how about we listen to defensive players, defensive coordinators, and just say, you know, where are we going with all of this? Let us in on this just so we know, just so we can teach differently or we can draft differently. Because as it is now, trying to figure this out, defensive players have no idea what they're allowed to do, not allowed to do anymore. Because it's all predicated by what the offense is allowed to do or not allowed to do. More phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. And by the way, the podcast, it's called That Scene. And you can go to Amazon Music and you'll be able to listen to it this week is the great lieutenant from The Wire, Lieutenant Daniels, Lance Riddick. Really an interesting guy. And some really strong opinions. You know, they didn't win any awards on The Wire. I think they won maybe two. And even after the first year, they didn't even know if they were going to be able to do that series. They didn't know how long it was going to last. And basically, Hollywood kind of, privately, people would say how they loved The Wire. But publicly, they weren't getting any backing. And Lance Riddick has some really strong opinions on that. I really enjoyed our conversation on The Wire. But that's on Amazon Music. It's called That Scene with Dan Patrick. Take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Big weekend on NBC. Saturday night primetime. You got Clemson and Notre Dame, followed by an all-new Saturday Night Live. NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix. That'll be on Sunday. And then it's Breeze and the Saints, Brady and the Bucks, Sunday night football, starting with Football Night in America at 7 Eastern. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. What's the difference between an AMG skeptic and an AMG believer? A split second. That's the time it takes to fire up the ignition, step on the gas, and
Oh, hear that gutsy engine roar. Go to mdusa.com/AMG, Mercedes AMG, driving performance. By the way, did you know Sean Connery, the James Bond, almost became a professional soccer player? A team in the Premier League was, I think, on the verge of signing Sean Connery, Manchester United. Sources close to me tell me that Sean Connery, he was a former bodybuilder and soccer player, and of course, became James Bond. Yes, Paul?
Sean Connery is so good. In The Hunt for Red October, he plays a Russian sub-captain with a Scottish accent and doesn't bother anybody. Nobody. I love that movie, Hunt for Red October. Everyone loves that movie. He's doing the movie with a sprinkling of Russian accent and mostly Scottish, and no one has a problem with it.
Yeah. It wasn't the other way around. It was basically a Scottish accent with a little bit of Russian in there. Not a lot of Russian with a little bit of Scottish in there.
All in.
Yes, Todd.
He actually asked to wear 007 on his soccer kit, which I found kind of interesting that he would even foreshadow.
All right.
And know that that.
How about that one?
Get it going.
How about that one?
Who's next?
2 hours, 46 minutes in.
Sometimes it takes a little time.
I like it. Yes, Paul.
I read an article about how what a dominant guy he was behind the scenes in certain movies that he would. The movie The Rock, it's a big budget movie with, who is it? Nicolas Cage. The movie, once all the money came in of what it was going to cost for all the scenes and the explosions, all that stuff, they said, nope, we're not going to do it. They didn't think it would play. And Sean Connery is vital in saying, this is going to be the real deal. It's going to be a great action movie. It's going to be fun. Mm. And it made zillions of dollars.
Not exactly. Not a zillion.
I rounded up.
Yeah. Close to it. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Okay, if you're J.J. Watt, do you want to go to the Packers, Seahawks, or stay with the Texans? 45% Seahawks, 42% Packers, only 8% Texans.
Mike Tirico will join us coming up tomorrow, get his thoughts on Michigan Wolverines, and also Mike's thoughts on Clemson-Notre Dame. He'll be on the call that game. That'll be on NBC coming up this Saturday night. I think it's still 7 points. Clemson favored by 7 in South Bend. This day in sports history, Paulie.
1972, Joe Namath was featured on the cover of Life magazine, which was not very common for professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
1998, Minnesota elected Jesse the Body Ventura, a former pro wrestler, as his governor.
I played golf with him, and he had Secret Service with him. If you're going to play golf with somebody who has Secret Service, just so you know, the ball never goes out of bounds, or they always find their ball. And Jesse Ventura would hit a ball, and I'd go, that's OB. And then we'd walk down to where it was, and I'll be damned if the Secret Service guy didn't find it. And I lost, I think, 3 balls that day, and he didn't lose any. Didn't lose one. But he was a lot of fun. Yeah, you know, so much energy, telling great stories. And we played with Ray Allen and Dante Culpepper.
That old group.
Yeah. Dante Culpepper, we finished the 9th hole. So we're on the 9th green, and Dante Culpepper, the former Viking quarterback, he starts to walk away. And we go, you got 9 more holes. He goes, I don't. You do. And he quit after 9 holes. That was where, was it Rich Beam won the PGA Championship in Minnesota on that golf course? I think that year. Because we went in to sort of do a preview for ESPN, the magazine. Gene Wojciechowski was the writer, and then we'd go in and he'd just follow us around. But I think that was in Minneapolis where we went in and played, and Rich Beam later won his one major championship there. I got some of my best people looking at it.
We're looking.
Yeah. Don't you just plug in Rich Beam PGA Championship?
That's Beam with an M.
B-E-A-M. Rich Beam, PGA Championship. And it would be in Minnesota, Minneapolis, outside of Minneapolis. Is anybody listening? Yes, McLovin.
Hazleton National Golf Club
there
in Chaska, Minnesota.
There you go. Thank you.
Suburb of Minneapolis.
Lightning quick.
Yep. Yep. Tyler in Indiana. Hi, Tyler. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dan. Hi. First time caller, 6'2", 225.
All right.
And I just saw when you were talking to Rich Eisen earlier, you were saying, you know, Michigan couldn't find a quarterback. And I was just curious, you know, Notre Dame, when's the last time they've had a real good successful NFL quarterback?
Let's see. Well, successful in the NFL. Brady Quinn was a first-round draft pick. DeShone Kizer was a second-round pick, I believe. Yeah, McLovin.
Jimmy Clausen, top of second, right?
Yeah.
Remember Ron Paulus?
Well, there was so much hype around him.
Did he play at Notre Dame? I can't. Oh, he did, right?
Yeah.
Rick Meyer.
Yeah. Rick Meyer.
Did we do a whole thing about him saying his own name wrong?
Yes. We had him on.
You know you're saying your name wrong, right?
Paulie accused Rick Meyer of saying his name wrong.
And I stand by it. It's M-I-R-E-R. It's Meyer.
Meyer.
And he pronounced it Meyer. I interviewed him when he was a rookie, and I called him Rick Meyer, and he didn't correct me. It's a theme there. Look at Joe Theismann. He could never make up his mind. He was a Notre Dame guy.
Well, no. His name was Theismann. They changed it to Theismann to rhyme with Heisman.
How'd that work out?
Well, it worked out okay in the NFL. Won a Super Bowl. But, yeah, Rick Meyer. It's like when I was teaching Ray Allen how to shoot that day in the man cave.
Oh, dear.
That might have been, looking back, one of the more cringeworthy moments. No. I think so. Yeah, Seton certainly thinks so.
Oh, dear. You know you're doing that wrong, right? He's like one of the greatest shooters in NBA history.
I know.
You know you're doing that wrong, right?
I know, but Ray had the ball resting on the palm of his hand. And I said, do you shoot like that? And he's like, he looks at me like, what?
When you hold your hand up and you go, you're supposed to have space right here. There's supposed to be space. He goes, there was. Like, no, there wasn't.
No, there wasn't.
Hey, Warren Buffett, you're investing wrong.
I know. I did have a couple of questions about Warren Buffett. I said, you got to start thinking long term, Warren. I mean, come on, Buff. You got to start thinking long term here. Let's see. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'm going to start with you. Did you learn anything?
In case
you're wondering, Bass Pro Shops in Cabela's, your flannel destination for the whole family this fall. They've got their annual Flannel Fest at retail locations across America. Shop their current flannel deals in-store online today. Yes, Todd?
I learned that the Patriots are in the position they're in right now largely because of Bill Belichick's inability to draft well the past 4 years.
Well, first and second round, yes. I mean, they hit on Chandler Jones. They just haven't had home runs with drafting. I think they've been smart. They get players. They've done short-term contracts. They get people who want to go in, try to win a Super Bowl. But, you know, to me, it's more about Tom Brady. They never had to worry about their quarterback for 20 years. 20 years. That's the big difference. McLovin?
Rich Beam, B-E-E-M, not B-E-A-M.
B-E-A-M. Thank you. Thank you, McLeod. Seton O'Connor Jr. the third.
Rich Eisen will take it from you, but he's not having it from the Dads.
I like where I just opened it up to. You guys got something to say to Rich Eisen? Yeah, and another thing. Paulie, what'd you learn today?
Cam Jordan's dad, Steve Jordan, 6 Pro Bowls.
Todd, what did I learn on today's award-winning program?
Cam Jordan says Cam Newton, the toughest QB to take down, followed by Big Ben and Russell Wilson.
What we learned, brought to you by Breeders' Cup World Championships this Friday and Saturday. The world's best thoroughbreds will be competing 14 exhilarating races at Breeders' Cup World Championships. That'll be in Lexington, Kentucky. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action on NBC Friday and Saturday. It's so big, it's 2 days live on NBC Sports. Thanks for joining us for Seton, Paulie, Fritzy, McLovin, yours truly. This has been the Dan Patrick Show.